Hello, 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 everybody. I'm coming to you from my secluded bunker, hiding not from COVID, but from fires. This is the Film Pigs podcast.
You're not hiding from COVID, only fires?
Yeah, I stopped hiding from COVID.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, no, I tricked it. I'm very tricky. But then the fires, they scared me a little more. And my name is Stephen Falk, and we're the Film Pigs. That is Todd Robert Anderson.
Hi, everybody.
And then the other guy's name is Stephen J. Skelton.
Fire bad.
Fire bad. COVID bad.
He sounded like Frankenstein's monster all of a sudden.
Yeah. And then we had Ruth
Bader. I'm a tragic fella.
We had Ruth Bader Ginsburg and an earthquake on top of the fires and the COVID.
Yeah. Boy.
Did you guys feel the earthquake when it happened?
Yes. I was really stoned watching a Danish disaster movie, and it was a bad trip.
I was literally just about to fall asleep just before midnight for the first time in weeks when it hit.
Yeah.
And then I didn't get to sleep until like 4 a.m.
Hill and I were watching a movie on Netflix that was really boring, and then the couch shook, and we were excited.
Yeah, yeah. It was it's a little too much, I thought. I thought it was overkill.
Yeah,
frankly. Maybe, except it didn't freak out my cats, and I feel like the earthquakes that freak out the cats, those are the ones that upset me. This one, the cats were like, huh, what? And then they moved on. So
your emotional gauge is your felines, not yourself.
Entirely about the cats.
Okay.
But your cats are pretty dumb.
Yeah, yeah. And they piss everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well,
good gauge.
So let's jump in, and we're gonna talk about a little movie news, you guys.
Movie news?
This is the point of our podcast where we ask our socially distanced crack team of journalists to you know, scour every corner of La La Land and come up with some movie news. Todd, what have your guys scoured?
Let me check my news notes. Here are my news notes. Melissa McCarthy, Ben Falcone, and Warner Brothers are being sued for $10 million by a person named Eva Kowalski for stealing her mediocre idea, which was a ripoff of Back to School that they called Life of the Party, which wasn't a huge hit, but it made $65 million, and she wants $10 million of it because she says she pitched them the idea.
Pitch who?
And then they stole it.
McCarthy?
They say that... I think what she's saying is she pitched Ben Falcone and Melissa McCarthy, and they passed on it, and then they turned around and wrote their own screenplay that's basically the same thing. I don't know if you saw Life of the Party, but it really is just basically Back to School.
I do.
I think I saw like part of it and got bored.
I do believe she claims she pitched the agents at Gersh, at the fine Gersh B-level talent agency, not Ben and Melissa, but...
Oh, okay.
Just not to stunt on your
no,
journalists,
I,
as the kids
I, like,
say.
There's a lot to that I don't know. I could only I can only see what the common man can see. But you're an insider, Steve. So
you've got the straight dope.
If you know the truth, I want to get to the truth because, you know, I've worked with Melissa McCarthy and auditioned for her on multiple occasions. She's lovely. I would hate to think that she's stealing from people, but it is an interesting and exciting tabloidy story, isn't it? $10 million sued.
No, if you look at this woman's social media, she seems like a kook.
Well, I assumed, yeah, there was some kook level involved.
Aren't you supposed to yes and the news?
Yeah, yes, and that would be a shame if Melissa McCarthy had actually stolen the idea for her female riff on Back to School off a woman who may or may not have pitched her the same agency at one point. Yes, that would be a terrible shame.
Well, I mean, just Falk, just for the record, it sounds like you're taking the side of the big guy in this one and not the little guy. Because, you know, you've been the little guy. So, oh,
yeah,
know.
No, yeah, yeah, Avatar was my idea, like, like fucking a horse by plugging into its tail. That was me. I pitched that to APA in 1997 on my way out of being kicked out of, I said, hey, what about horse tail fucking? They said, still get out.
When I was
come back.
When I was born in 1972, the first thing that came out of my mouth, it was a cry, but it sounded to everyone in the room that it sounded like I screamed Jaws. And then, and Steven Spielberg was there in the delivery room. I don't know why. It's weird circumstances. But 3 years later, first blockbuster ever made.
Wow.
So I'm still mad. It's
too strange. Well, look, if she's going for, what's that, roughly 17% of the total international box office of $66 million, you're probably owed a little more then.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. I think so. Steve Skelton.
Hey, I got some really big Hollywood news.
Oh, my gosh.
Good classic Hollywood news.
Oh, shoot.
We'll
be the judge of whether it's classic or not, I think.
Ernie Orsatti has died. He was the famed stuntman with the memorable fall in the Poseidon Adventure. He was best known for his unforgettable fall through a glass skylight in the 1972 movie The Poseidon Adventure. He just passed away. He was 80. He was born in Beverly Hills in 1940 to opera singer Inez Gorman and Ernie R. Orsatti, a former professional baseball player and double for Buster Keaton in Sherlock Jr. 1924. And then Ernie became a model and a competitive swimmer before breaking into show business with appearances in the 1968 film The Acid Eaters and The Green Berets starring John Wayne. He was in other movies like The Mechanic, 1972, The Last American Hero, Towering Inferno, and Viva Knievel in 1977. He appeared on TV shows like Mannix, The Incredible Hulk, and Hill Street Blues. The stunt was his big thing in the movie. He was asked to let go from an upside down table to fall 32 feet onto a skylight in the ballroom of the ocean liner. He did the stunt but was knocked out by the plunge.
Later
admitted he was scared to death by the stunt, but it made his career, and he was later a fan favorite at gatherings surrounding the film.
Wow.
So R.I.P. Ernie.
I hope someone reads my resume with that level of excitement after I die.
Well, you gotta jump through a skylight.
I don't have the kind of money to do that.
You mean to repair the skylight?
To either have a skylight or then repair it after I jump through it. And I imagine you need certain equipments to jump through a skylight successfully. You can't just do it. You have to plan it out.
Only incredibly fancy people have skylights.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure your SAG health plan no longer covers skylight related injuries.
It doesn't cover anything anymore. And it's expensive.
Well, that's a good piece of movie news. My piece of movie news is not as good, but I was shocked to find out that Woody Allen has a new movie.
Oh, good God.
Wallace Shawn is the newest Woody Allen avatar, which may actually sort of show Woody's current level of self-hatred. You know, when he's feeling really good about himself, he'll have like Timothy Chalamet or some, you know, young, handsome Jude Law. Now it's Wallace Shawn. So
another guy you're surprised to learn is still alive.
Well,
his next movie, he'll be his avatar will be that Nick Nolte Ugnaught puppet from Mandalorian.
Yeah, I didn't know he was. It is inconceivable that he's alive, but he is, and he's playing a filmmaker. All the action takes place at the San Sebastian Film Festival, where the movie is currently debuting. Did you catch that?
Yeah, okay.
That was my reaction as well. Woody Allen's 84, still making the nichest of niche movies for the nichest of niche.
But getting like shaded by Kate Winslet even now. I shouldn't have done those Woody Allen movies.
Yeah, what, last year she did them? 2 years ago?
I know, it's hilarious to me that she's like that.
Yeah. Anyway, that's movie news, you guys.
Burn, Hollywood, burn. I smell a riot going on. First the guilty, now they're going. take a black one to move me. Get me the hell away from this TV.
You guys, it's time to talk about movies.
Okay.
I've been a little. Oh, thank you. I've been a little down lately because, you know, movies are a big part of my life and I can't go to them anymore. I can't escape to them. So I've been watching a lot at home and due to most movies being pushed, most releases being pushed, and I do have a list of those pushes, which is quite extensive and large.
Halloween movie, right? The new Candyman movie. I'm trying to figure out what you're most upset about.
Well, let's go through that in a minute. But I thought it'd be time to do another little pandemic movie check-in. We did one 3 months ago, and there have been a lot of streaming things released. Perhaps just a lot of things that you guys have caught up on in the ensuing 3 months that. You know, during we thought it would probably be over. I didn't think there'd be another 3 months. Now I can guarantee you there will be another 3 months and probably another three months. So we'll probably do four of these at least.
yeah.
But first of all, I just wanted to check: has anyone been into a movie theater since March?
No,
okay. Not me. I mean, I think of my living room as my movie theater now. So there are certain screenings where we're very reverent about it.
Let's see what it, okay, if the movies, this is just a side topic, if the movies were open and you were guaranteed, Todd, like most of your screenings, there were about three people in it, and and you were seated as far away as possible from them, you were guaranteed to be at least like 20 rows away from them.
Uh-huh.
Would you go?
Right now?
Yeah.
No, probably not.
Okay. What about you, Skellen?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. There you go. So I
like my lungs in the so-so condition they're in.
So I guess my question is, in these 3 months, if you can recall, what have you... Well, here, let me go. Since we last did this in June, here are some of the movies that have come out, either to streaming services or, you know, VOD. Mulan... Antebellum, which just
do you want
out.
Us to react to these as you list them, or do you want to list them and then?
Yeah, no, just think about them. Think about
it. Okay, thinking.
He wants you to be quiet, Todd.
Kevin,
okay,
Kevin,
I'm gonna be quiet and I'm gonna think.
Kevin Bacon's You Should Have Left. Dave Franco's Rental. There's a movie called Irresistible that Steve Carell was in that Jon Stewart directed. Of course, Bill and Ted Face the Music, Bill and Ted 3, we talked about on the last podcast. The Tax Collector, a Shia LaBeouf, post-Tarantino movie. Of course, Hamilton was dropped on Disney Plus instead of the theaters. My Spy, featuring that what's his name, wrestler guy.
David Batista.
Batista, The New Mutants, which was, I guess, an X-Men thing somehow.
Yeah, it was X-Men related.
New X-Men. There were new X-Men.
Sure, okay, good.
But not X-Men.
A little indie called Tenet.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, The High Notes. Tesla, starring Ethan Hawke. American God. Pickle.
American
Seth Rogen movie. Project Power.
Oh, God.
Palm Springs, which was a Hulu Groundhog Day riff.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking of Ending Things, which is a Charlie Kaufman directed movie.
Oh, I'm really glad that was a movie title and you weren't just segueing.
That would have been so slick.
Like an alarming segue.
Project Power, Palm Springs. I'm
he
thinking
just
of Ending Things. Bye bye.
A pre-recorded, not live podcast.
The Old Guard and Eurovision, Song of Fire and Ice, I believe it's called.
Oh, sure.
I'm sure I missed a couple of those. But have you guys catch any of those?
Yeah.
Actually, I've seen a good portion of those.
Yeah. I wrote down all the ones I've seen, and it's really a small number for me of the large list that you just spewed out of your
Yeah, because you would have, if you could get into a theater, you would have seen all of them.
Actually, no. I mean, I feel like a lot of the ones that he listed are going straight to streaming because they basically would have anyway.
Well, yes. I mean, so let's just jump to things that have been shuttled or pushed indefinitely. So we have a movie called Antlers, Artemis Fowl, which eventually came out at Disney Plus.
I really am sad that I'm not getting to see Antlers.
Avatar, A Quiet Place 2, which has been moved twice now to
an even quieter place.
Now to 2021. The Batman, which has just been pushed back farther in 21. I mean, because, you know, everything's being thrown in, you know, all of 2020 is being thrown into 2021.
Well, and so, didn't Batman get sick? Didn't he get COVID?
And he got COVID.
He got Bat COVID.
Black Widow, movie called Bull. Going to VOD, went to VOD. Candyman has been pushed three times now, and now it's indefinite. Charm City Kings came out eventually. The Climb, a little indie about biking. Death on the Nile, which I guess they did another one of those, like Agatha Christie.
Oh, Kenneth Branagh.
Didn't Kenneth Branagh do that like a couple years ago?
He did. That was on the train, dude.
Oh. Was that Orient Express?
But he did. He was doing it again.
This is the second one. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Dungeons and Dragons has been pushed to 2022.
There's a new Dungeons and Dragons movie?
Yeah.
How are they going to beat the original?
The Eternals, F9, Fatherhood, a Kevin Hart movie. First Cow actually came out. I saw that. The Flash. There's a Flash movie.
It's about a guy who shows his dick to people on the street.
Yes, Flasher.
Yeah, but very quickly because he has superpowers.
The French Dispatch, which is what do you call it? The new what's his name? Wes Anderson movie is delayed indefinitely. Okay, I'm just going to quickly...
Wes Anderson movie being delayed indefinitely means nothing to me.
And the new Purge... Well, it is one of these on the list, so I'm reading them, Todd.
I get it.
The new Purge, the new Ghostbusters, Godzilla versus King Kong, Greyhound, which did come out on Apple TV, Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends. I guess they're doing two at the same time.
Yeah, and they're pushing him back to start next year instead of this year,
In the Heights, Jungle Cruise got pushed a year. I know you're sad about that.
That's a bummer because I love Jungle Cruise. I love the ride. It's great.
It looks great.
It's hilarious. They tell these jokes when you're on the ride. There's like alligators come out of the water and they make a joke about the gator. They'll say something funny about the gator, like, look out for that gator. It's like your mom or something like that. I can't remember the jokes.
Wonder Woman, Woman in the Window. I'm going from the bottom now. Into the Spider-Verse sequel, Far From Home sequel, Indiana Jones movie.
Wait, the Indiana Jones was due out when?
July 2021.
And now it's 2022?
Yeah, Harrison Ford just needs to sneak in a couple extra plane crashes. And Top Gun Maverick, the new Thor. A bunch of Star Wars movies, the Pixar movie Soul with Jamie Foxx, Spiral, the new Chris Rock reboot of Saw.
Oh yeah, that's another one I'm sad about. Shazam
2.
Was good. I wanted to see Shazam.
Peter Rabbit 2, The Personal History of David Copperfield, No Time to Die.
Copperfield came out on VOD though, didn't it?
Yes, it actually did. You're
is
right.
Is No Time to Die coming out at Christmas or not?
Right now it's November 20th.
So no.
Okay.
So no.
So before Christmas.
Okay. So those are. I mean, these are just some of the train wreck that is coming. The total pile up that's coming in 2021. But okay, so I take it neither of you saw Mulan, Antebellum, anyone?
Not yet. I mean, I'm interested, but the reviews are terrible on that thing.
They really resisted it.
Yeah.
You Should Have Left, anyone?
I didn't see that.
That was supposed to be awful. Rental?
No. These are not movies I was willing to pay $20 to see once. Some of these that come out, you can pay $20 and you'll own it versus you know, renting it for 15, but some of them are just, it's one time only, and most of them are not enticing enough for me to spend $20 on a one-timer. Because Bill and Ted was $20, you own it. Yeah.
I bought that. Yeah. Irresistible, the Jon Stewart movie.
No.
Yeah, the reviews.
I almost rented it, and then I went, nah.
Yeah, I've been reviews, like that a bunch.
The reviews were so bad, and watching something that's a political satire that has no balls sounds terrible to me.
Yeah,
so. I agreed. Bill and Ted 3.
Yep, I did.
I watched it.
Do you guys like it?
I liked it okay.
Enough. I think that it was. I think it's very overrated. I will jump on board with anybody saying Alex Winter was the, you know, MVP of the movie. I totally agree, but there were, it wasn't funny enough, I guess.
It took a long time to really get rolling.
I agree.
The first half I thought was pretty slow, even though it was still kind of charming. And then the second half, when they just started being goofy and doing goofy and bits, then it was fun.
And when Anthony Carrigan and obviously Death, what's his name?
Bill Sadler
came on. The two of them were great. Hamilton was you know, were definitely good. My Spy, anyone see that?
No, I haven't.
No, which is weird because I'm usually a Dave Bautista completionist.
You know, Doug Benson talks about that movie like it's like totally cool. So I might watch it, but my kid is like beyond that. He's in this place of he wants to see the inappropriate stuff no matter what. So he's not going to lean on family movies.
He's more Stuber than my Spy.
Exactly. He's more Stuber. And we did enjoy Stuber as a family. I admit that.
I'm super glad. the New Mutants.
No, I'll eventually see New Mutants because it's a comic booky thing, and I see those. But I wouldn't feel the need to blow $20 on a rental. Yeah.
I would say that this movie got seriously fucked as far as my family's concerned by the no theaters thing because because it was a superhero movie, Colby would have wanted to see it, but it didn't register for him at all because it's not. So I didn't bring it up. So I didn't VOD it or anything like that.
I would have very much gone to see Tenet at the drive-in, and I still might, but it's hard to get out there for me.
Yeah, because that's kind of a where's the closest drive-in in our?
It's like a half an hour.
From you though.
Yeah, there's the Vineland. There's the Mission Tiki. There's one in City of Industry. There's a handful.
And there's pop-ups too that will have them. But Tenet, that was my second movie news story. That was my backup. Was just that it's made, I think, $250 million worldwide, but it's still struggling at the U.S. box office.
Yeah.
And why do you suppose that is? What a great mystery.
I mean, that's the thing. Is like, I would go, like, Tenet would be one I would go see in the theater, even though for some weird reason, I don't know why, because I've always found Nolan's, like, original sci-fi movies to be really beautifully shot, masterfully put together movies that I don't quite like.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't resonate. Yeah.
I hear. I mean, I thought Dunkirk was great, but that's not sci-fi.
Yeah, it's like I love Dunkirk. Yeah. I love Dunkirk, but it's like Interstellar and and Spinny in Your Brain, Dream Movie, Inception. You know, those left me kind of like, they looked great and I thought they were, you know, paced beautifully, but I was just like, I just don't quite like them.
Yeah, but I mean,
Interstellar worked for me because I want most movies with Matthew McConaughey to end with him behind a bookcase.
Right.
I was gonna say he was in a bookcase. That's what I remember of that movie. I've seen so many goddamn space movies over the last 5 years. I'm guessing no one saw Tesla with Ethan Hawke as Nikolai Tesla. American Pickle?
Yes.
I saw American Pickle.
That's pretty good.
I liked it. I thought it was very charming.
It was really weird and really funny, I thought.
Yeah, I was exceptionally stoned, so I don't really absorb a lot of it. I didn't absorb a lot of it, although I thought he was terrific as the older version.
Yeah.
Like, really good.
I thought he made a really good acting choice to play the older the great grandfather.
Yeah.
Like, he was Mandy Patinkin.
Yeah.
It's an ideal COVID film, and I hope to do like the super low budge, like Charles Band version of it, like rip off of it in the future, near future.
Project Power.
Yeah, that was a Netflix show, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy because that's on Netflix and I haven't bothered to watch it.
Jamie Foxx Palm Springs.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I like Palm Springs.
I liked it a lot. It's great.
I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, no. I'm just thinking of Ending Things.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Steve.
Oh, this is the segue.
Listen. You got friends. You got family. We love you.
Okay. Yeah, you should call them right now.
Okay. Call a number, an 800 number.
You know, it's beyond weird, but the end result is I enjoyed it, but I didn't like love the experience of watching it, but it's good. And the girl in it, Jessie something, some Irish chick, is great, and it's pretty good. It's not bad.
Is that a streaming service production, or is it?
It's Netflix. Yeah.
Oh, it is on Netflix. Okay, that's okay.
You know, Jesse Plemons is very much like Charlie Kaufman's you know, stand-in, you know, because he made Schenectady, New York, or however you say that, with...
I think you said it right.
Schenectady, I don't...
But can you say it five times fast?
No. I don't want to.
But it's what about the audience? The audience might want you to say it five times fast.
No.
They don't?
No, they don't care.
You already have the numbers?
The numbers just came in, Todd. They're not good. And okay. you are particularly not testing well.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Schenectady.
I'm sorry. It's not going well.
And then somehow Candyman has appeared behind Todd. I don't know why.
Tony Todd.
Philip Seymour Hoffman pops up if you say that movie five times. But it's funny, Jesse Plemons is very much the Philip Seymour Hoffman of now, particularly now that he's sort of bulked up, and it's very interesting that you know these directors who pick the same avatar for themselves. So
I like Plemons though. Plemons
is amazing. Yeah. He's amazing.
Obviously he picks good actors, but they do have a chub factor.
The old guard. Yeah, the old guard.
Oh yeah, that was the Charlie's comic booky Netflixy guy.
It was
fun. I enjoyed it.
It was entirely fine. Yes.
Eurovision Song of Fire and Ice.
Because we talked about this.
We all watched it.
I didn't get into it at first, but then I came back to it and I enjoyed it.
So those are just the movies that have come out or been delayed. Now that we're 3 more months in, is there any? Are you finding yourself when you want to watch a movie? Are you drawn towards certain genres, certain moods? Are you delving into old movies now that there's more streaming services? Like HBO Max has a lot of really good older movies, and I don't know if you have Canopy, but they make a lot of older things available. Or
if you have Amazon Prime, I think a free add-on is Shout Factory TV. And if you like old grindhouse movies, there you go.
Well, yeah. So what about it? Are there any trends? Are you just still sort of the same film watcher, or do you have more patience for things or less, or what's going on?
I've been getting into some older movies and maybe some movies that I haven't watched in a long time.
Mm.
So I've been kind of getting into a little bit of a Kurosawa
film
fest.
I just tried to watch Yojimbo and I did not care for it.
Yeah, so I just I just watched Rashomon last night week.
Yo, Jimbo's good, man.
Why didn't I like it? Someone watch it and tell me what.
All right, I think Yo, Jimbo's on my list. I think that's in my queues.
Please just tell me.
But
what
then I did.
Just watch Fistful of Dollars.
After midnight last week, I started and watched in its entirety Seven Samurai.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Which, you know, took me to like 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, that's a three-hour show, right?
I think it's three plus.
Three and a half?
I got taken to that by my friend's, like, hippie parents when I was like 12, and I just fucking loved it.
And you sat through all three-plus hours of it?
Yeah.
Shit, man. And did you notice the time as a kid? Did you feel it?
I don't think so. I think I just really liked it.
Just got lost.
And that's just,
cool.
And it's just like a, you know, because, it's a movie that takes its time in a way and earns it in a way that no other movie that comes after it that keeps trying to be Seven Samurai can pull off in gathering the characters. Then you get to that last, like 45-minute battle, endless village attack.
Yeah.
That it's just, you're just like, holy shit, these poor villagers. These poor dumb villagers.
If you want an hour shorter version of that, the 13, is it 13? 13 Assassins. It's not the, it's just 13 Assassins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which has a similar structure, but it's from like 10 years ago or something like that.
It's also fun, like, because what is Seven Samurai, is that late 50s or early 60s?
I think it's late 50s, but
yeah.
I don't know.
And what's interesting about that period is you get this really crazy mashup. I mean, not, Japanese film, but also, you know, you get Hollywood film as well, you know, global. You get this weird mashup of acting styles. The style was becoming more grounded and realistic in film, you know, and leaving behind the kind of more broader style, kind of almost, in some cases, almost clownish, emotional style. And so you get like this kind of odd kind of juxtaposition with a lot of the characters, with very kind of stoic and reserved and grounded, and then, you know, I forget the character name, but the tag along, the follow on guy who's kind of the muscle of the group.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not really the samurai, but he eventually becomes part of the group, who's so crazy over the top. But still really, really compelling. But it's got this weird juxtaposition of acting styles you get in that period.
Right. Yeah. No, it's great. Do you attribute that to anything or just a kick you're on?
I think it's a kick. Well, I think it's maybe a little bit too that it's like, you know, it's, you know, the first few months, you know, you got into this rut of just kind of like, okay, I don't want to think.
Right.
I don't want to, you know, process anything. I don't want to, I'm going to watch, you know, four Star Trek movies all day long today that I've already seen 20 times each. But, you know, I wanted that comfort. And I think now I'm kind of like maybe a little bit of equilibrium, or trying to balance out some of the craziness of the sleep schedule getting thrown off with, let me get some meat and potatoes to actually focus on, and kind of maybe lose myself in a little bit in a different way.
Right.
Maybe a more positive way than just...
Right,
like,
garbage.
I'm going to watch the one where they go for the whales again.
So it's sort of the movie version of realizing you've been eating crap for 4 months and trying to eat a little healthier.
Yeah, I want to eat it. Like, kind of almost kind of how I started... It's weird. I started the pandemic in kind of the opposite direction, as I was eating a lot healthier, but just watching a lot of the same junk over and over again for comfort. And now I'm eating shittier, but I'm trying to find better things to watch.
Mm. What about you, Todd?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a little bit different in that I haven't gone for stuff that makes me feel better, like that's a better meal. I just have dug deeper into genre stuff, maybe too deep in some circumstances.
So you're more you than ever.
Yeah, I'm probably more dug in to myself than I ever have been. But that's because I have a family that's the same way. They're not given to dramas. Like, I'm more given to dramas than they are. So I have to work hard to get them to watch a war movie or a drama movie, like something that's going to make you cry or whatever. So, yeah. So I'm looking for stuff that's new in the genres that my family will more quickly agree to. So one thing I watched, we have Shudder, the add-on on Amazon that costs like, I don't know, $10 a month or whatever. It's mostly horror movies. We watched a movie called Spiral, which is not The Spiral, which is the new Saw movie. It's something else. It's about a gay couple that moves into the suburbs, and the suburbs prove to be a nightmare. So... That, you know, and it was a thing that, like, started well, and the acting's very good, and it looks good, you know, for a modestly budgeted movie, but then it disintegrates into garbage by the end of it, pretentious garbage, so I hated that one. I did watch a documentary, which is on HBO Max, I guess. You have to be special on the top tier of HBO to get it, but it's called Class Action Park. And this is a movie...
Oh, yeah, I just watched that too. I forgot about it.
This is a movie that I very much loved, and I thought it was very hilarious.
It's bananas.
It's bananas, and it's funny, but the stuff you laugh at in the beginning makes you feel horrible at the end. Because it has a very depressing ending. But it is it's a really good documentary, and it's in and out in I think an hour 40. It's not super long. I highly recommend it.
Oh, nice. Okay. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah,
I've been wanting to. Let's see. And then lastly, what else did I want to ask? No, we talked about that. All right, I think that's it. Great.
Huh.
All right. Cool. That's our pandemic check-in.
Pandemic. Sweet.
You guys, that music means it's time for Movie Jail. This is where we put a film professional on trial for crimes against film, where they're remanded to the really sprawling at this point, Robert De Niro Federal Penitentiary.
Sprawling is a quality word. Sorry, Your Honor.
No, that's okay. Where there's basically the entire laundry list of any punishment that anyone has ever thought of, from death to a slap on the wrist. Who do we have here? Bailiff, can you announce
please stand attorney for Honorable Judge Falk, even though he already started proceedings. And please welcome Prosecutor Steve Skelton.
Please welcome. Is this
to, thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
To the stage.
Is he doing a Type 15? Give it up for...
Ooh, if I do well enough on my set, maybe the judge will call me over to the desk. Okay, yeah, Your Honor, I have a case that's a little bit unusual, but given that we're kind of in a pandemic apocalypse, and the government in general doesn't obey any laws anymore, I figure, you know, we got a little wiggle room, so. It's not technically a film professional, I guess, that I want to put on trial, but because everything is streamy and is going to different devices these days, I will beg the court's indulgence because I want to put Quibi on trial. And it's based on two news reports that I have seen recently, Your Honor. And the first one is from Variety, and the headline was Jeffrey Katzenberg's Quibi is looking to sell itself, among other possible options. And so this is Quibi, the mobile subscription TV startup founded by Jeffrey Katzenberg, is exploring, quote, strategic options, end quote, including a potential sale, the Wall Street Journal has reported. That's a truck. Launched in April 2020, Quibi's raised about $1.75 billion from major studios. And so the question is who exactly would be interested in acquiring the struggling Quibi venture, given its untested business model and weak subscriber traction to date? So it's only been launched for about 6 months. They can't sign up any subscribers, which... I guess they try and pin on COVID, but let's be honest. I don't think they'd be in much better shape even if there wasn't a pandemic. So among other potential moves, the Variety article goes on to say, among other potential moves it is exploring, Quibi is considering trying to raise even more funding or launching an IPO through a merger with a special purpose acquisition company, which is an acronym that says SPAC. Per the Wall Street Journal report, a SPAC is a kind of holding company formed solely for the purpose of raising capital through an initial public offering, which to me just sounds like shenanigans. That doesn't sound like it's designed to do anything but try to fool people into handing over some money so golden parachutes can be pulled. In a statement, the company said, Quibi has successfully launched a new business and pioneered a new form of storytelling and state-of-the-art platform. Jeffrey Katzenberg and CEO Meg Whitman are committed to continuing to build the business in the way that gives the greatest experience for customers, greatest value for shareholders, and greatest opportunity for employees. Now, it's that last phrase, opportunity for employees, that really sticks in my craw, considering this other article that I've just read recently from InputMag.com. And they report that Quibi aimed to use the snackable 10-minute or less quick bites to break up longer narratives for an on-the-go populace. Their little 10-minute things. This approach, in essence, also cuts a chunk out of the crew's paychecks for no other reason than the show's very short runtimes. Katzenberg has publicly admitted to shooting feature films and cutting them down to 5 to 10 minute episodes for the platform. Input spoke to 9 people knowledgeable about wage rates in multiple departments across several Quibi productions. Few said they were able to negotiate rates, and those that found it possible had varying levels of success. All sources were initially quoted union minimum tier 0 to movie of the week rates. Of the final 10 rates shared, crew members were paid an approximate average of $10 an hour less than they were entitled to under their locals' wage scales. Now, this is possible because the rates are only based upon a program's first exhibition, and the basic agreement's language left the door open for exploitation, apparently, within these little bite-size kind of things. So, Your Honor, this is, you know, Quibi is this giant venture that's raised nearly $2 billion and is using that money to not pay its crew properly. And so for that reason alone, I believe the court must ensure that Quibi make wage restitution to its hardworking crews, and until such a restitution is made, the service should be barred from running on any device more recent than a Motorola Razr V3, I think is the only fair thing.
Thank you. This is interesting. One may assume if a lawyer is standing in front of me here arguing a case, that I do have jurisdiction over it. I don't think that's up on the court's shoulders to decide, or else you wouldn't be here, and the bailiff wouldn't be here. I mean, he could be, you know, he's an antiquer. He could be out antiquing.
I could yeah. Be antiquing.
He's here. So I'm going to operate. This is all under the somewhat shaky codicil that this is the assumption that I do have jurisdiction over Quibi or Quick Bites. Jeffrey Katzenberg has clearly staked his, you know, basically like bought his last stake in the game and has failed miserably. And this is going to be what his name is forever in perpetuity associated with, not DreamWorks or any of the other stuff he did before that, but Quibi. Oof. That feels like punishment enough, but Katzenberg is not on trial here, nor is Meg Whitman, who has a host of other problems attached to her name. But that's she's a little younger, that she may have a third act. But she's not on trial here. Quibi.
You really like to throw people...
I'm okay with putting them on trial, too. I mean, if it pleases the court.
Well, you can't just throw trials on top of trials. I mean, he has to do the right thing. But he's making a point, and maybe you can run with that.
Quibi, the court has some special insight into this, because the court did take a meeting with said defendant. Defendant app. found said app to be interesting, but found the sales pitch to be quite convincing without ever answering any of the fundamental questions. Is anyone going to fucking want to watch this? And why has any short form paid service going back to like 1999 with like Pop that Imagine tried to start, and or like go.com or any of these numerous platforms of short form entertainment, people don't want to pay for that because they don't have to. There's YouTube's free. And you know, the ability to get sort of a secondary viewing experience by turning your phone and paying for the incredible fun restriction of not being able to throw anything to your TV seemed weird. Now, the also seeming weird was, I mean, it was good for creators, but the numbers they were paying for productions, regardless of whether it went to whether the crew was, you know, paid minimum or not, they were putting some money on the screen. The whole thing is just so everyone knew it seemed very, very stupid. And everyone was right. Except for a handful of people, including Jeffrey Katzenberg and Meg Whitman. And like Jim Toth, Reese Witherspoon's agent husband, who became the sort of head of production. I'm going to say guilty. I'm going to say Quibi's guilty. But you can't sell. You can't try to shuffle off for parts. You can't try to sell the software. You can't try to give golden parachutes to the above name. It just goes away. It goes away and all the money is lost and you just get sued a lot.
Just turn the server
so
off.
The sentence is you get sued
because you
a
don't
lot.
Exist anymore. Quibi yeah. doesn't exist anymore.
Except as an entity that can be sued. Or the individuals themselves can be sued?
I think the individuals will be sued, yeah.
Okay, cool. That's a solid sentence. It's hard to sentence an app.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do you do that?
Oh,
how
wait.
Do you take
hold on.
An app?
Sorry. I think one of my apps is.
Is that an app problem?
Yeah.
That
wait.
You guys are
I
hearing
it was an app.
I hear the problem. It's not. I don't have that app. The screaming? Some kind of weird app?
I just heard it again.
What app is that? Should I? Oh,
you guys.
Every time, you guys.
That's Nick Cage, you guys. That's the Nick Cage Memorial Bizarre line reading time. That's the sound that tells you that it's time. It's time.
God
it's time
it.
To hear.
It's so confusing every time. I think it's something else, and it turns out to be that.
Now, this time, Todd will play you a little clip from a movie where an actor makes some interesting choices that one can hear, not just visual choices, but oral choices, that can hold up, hopefully, this line reading or scene or paragraph up with the best of Nick Cage's absolutely apeshit reads sometimes. Now, Todd, what do you got?
Now, Steve, this is a very short, this is seconds long, this particular line reading, and I feel like I need to sort of set the scene. So This is from a movie called Revenge of the Nerds, okay? And I've never read the screenplay for this movie, but I don't know if the dialogue in this instance was written out or it was just a stage direction. You know, Poindexter screams, or they wrote Poindexter, you know, the dialogue slug, and then underneath, ah!
Yeah.
I don't know how it was written, but it was written in some way, and Timothy Busfield took it and ran with it and interpreted it in this way. So what happens in this scene, it comes right after the nerds have committed what can only be described as a horrible sex crime. But they're all enjoying.
You have to narrow that down for that movie.
It's right after the panty raid when they're watching their work on cameras.
So they're illegal camera.
So the sorority did bad things to them.
This is a very problematic movie.
It's problematic.
I'm sure that's what you
said. So I cut out all the dialogue leading up to this. That's why it's so short. But what I really think is funny is Timothy Busfield's take on the line, which is probably just a screaming note, when he discovers he has an erection. That's all this is. It's all it is.
Here we go. I've seen this movie so many times.
I know. You know what I'm talking about. And that's it, guys. That's it. And then, like, later in the movie, because I was struggling to find this because it's been a while since I remembered where this came, but I went to the party sequence in the movie where they smoke pot. And and Poindexter laughs and then has, like, says more than he says in the rest of the movie, like, thinking about, you know, the way he exists with the planet. But he always makes that noise. Ah, ah, ah. And he gets his hand caught in a blender at one point and just goes, ah, ah, ah. It's hilarious. It really is funny.
Doesn't when they're sharing the gym, doesn't the basketball land in beans and just like splat all over his face and Booger starts eating it off his face?
Yes, that happens.
That's like one of the few gags in that movie that isn't a sex crime.
Isn't offensive. Yeah.
Poindexter,
isn't an actual rape.
Poindexter is not a sex crime, but yet his actor turned out to get Me Too very early on.
Oh, Busfield did? I didn't remember that.
Yeah, way before it was a thing. Yeah, he got accused.
Oh, that's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
What's that?
Hey guys, that music means it's time for me to let my cat in before she scratches the door to bits. Vamp for a second, fellas.
Oh.
All right. I like cats.
Cats are great. His cat, which is called Crab Cake.
Yeah.
He's a small cat. He's a runt. He's the runt of the litter.
Yeah.
And he's cute, but he's no good.
Guys.
He's no good. Yep.
I have a game. Who's good?
What? No. We were just saying how good you were.
Oh, thank you. I am.
You're welcome.
Good. So this game hopefully will be a little, tiny bit better, maybe, than the last game.
I liked that last game.
Anyway, guys. Okay. So I was looking researching, you know, streaming movies and such. I came across Netflix's development pipeline. And so this is quite a simple game. I'm going to read you the name, the description, and in some cases a star from a Netflix film in development.
Okay.
Okay.
You have to tell me if it's real or fake.
That's it. It's like a 50-50.
If it's actually from their development slate, or did I make it up?
Oh, wow.
This could really go any direction.
That's cool.
Yeah, so we have 18 here. Let me find a little piece of paper. Okay, I found one.
Can you keep explaining the game for 2 seconds? I have to make a quick run.
So these are movies that may or may not be in development.
At Netflix.
At Netflix.
Okay, so the game.
So they may. Okay, so maybe they're working on this movie in some stage of development. Meaning,
right.
There could be a script that they ordered. Uh-huh. It could actually be in pre-production. Yeah. They could have got the script in and thought it was a bad idea. Thought it wasn't good. They could have just changed their mind.
Okay.
They could have started filming and shut down on day one. They could have started filming and shut down on day two.
They could have started filming and shut down on days
3, 4, or 5. They could have finished filming.
Hey, I'm back. Can you guys explain the rules one more time?
Yeah. So this is going to be a movie that is in development at Netflix that either is real, according to this website,
mm-hmm.
or fake.
Can you tell us what the website is? Did you already tell Skelton?
No, I don't remember because I don't want you looking it up. So, okay. Who? Let's. I'm gonna think of a. I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 49 billion. Whoever comes closest wins.
Price is Right rules or just
no?
Okay.
Who guesses first?
Doesn't matter.
48 billion.
1,032.
Todd, it was 20 million.
So what did what did Skelton guess?
48 billion. So you're way closer.
Oh, okay, cool.
He almost bet to the end of my number range.
Right, and I bet close to the beginning.
Close to the beginning.
Yeah, you see, Todd, you won that who gets closest to the number because you guessed a number that was closest.
I got you.
Mine was in the millions. Yours is in the thousands. Skelton's was in the far end of the billions. Almost. So,
like, as it turns out, I guessed my number was too large.
It's too large.
Like closest. Like if the numbers were standing in a field, you would be a lot closer to the.
Well, and I want to point out, just for the record, if it had been Price is Right rules, Skelton still would have lost, regardless. Even if I had been a little higher in my number. Because you can't overbid. Price is Right.
Okay. Yeah. No. Technically, yes. You are correct.
So I'm a winner.
The Price is Right.
I'm a
rules.
Winner in both ways.
So Todd, as the winner of guessing the number closest,
double winner,
two times winner.
Would you like to go?
Are we
first,
playing a game?
Would you like? To, yeah. This is the whole game. I just think of numbers.
It's an hour and a half long podcast. Just guessing numbers.
It's a fraction that could go to up to the 30th place between 1 and 2. Okay. All right. Todd, would you like to go first or second?
I'm going to go second.
That's a bad, power bad move. Choice.
It's a power move.
Is it Skelton. Bad choice? Why is it a bad choice?
So it's just 1 point.
Are you coaching? Can you coach? Can I do first choice?
But you can steal, so if they get it wrong, I'm kidding. Okay, so.
All right.
Are you ready? Steve Skelton.
I am ready.
This is a Netflix movie that is in, that may or may not be in development.
It's either real or not real.
Correct. The name is 13 Minutes. A popular high school student named Natasha drowns and is dead for 13 minutes before starting to breathe again. She begins seeing patterns of 13.
I'm going to say that's real.
That is real.
How could that not be real?
It's very a strong start. I had a very strong start to this game.
It's clearly a prequel to the number 23.
It's the same as Jim Carrey. Okay. Todd, ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay, free period. When Charisse, a high school sophomore, unexpectedly gets her period during gym class, she discovers that during that time of the month, she can turn invisible at will.
Wait, that's the whole thing? That's a hard, it's hard to choose whether it's real or not because it sounds crazy enough to work. I'm going to say that's, it's a real show.
No, I made that one up.
Oh, God damn it.
Who's the winner now, Todd?
This game is obviously rigged because...
There's like 16 more.
No, okay. Out of the gate, it's bullshit. Because, you know, if I get the... Falk skews this shit and he manipulates it. And he makes the game about making me lose. But it's fine. Let's keep playing.
Oh, Skelton.
Yeah.
Auntie Claus. A young girl searches for a Christmas-loving aunt who has gone missing.
Auntie Claus searches for a Christmas-loving aunt that has gone missing. This is a very well-crafted logline. If it's not real,
it sounds like
it's
a
so
porn
short
I
and non-committal that it sounds very, very real. So I'm gonna say it's real.
You were correct. Auntie
Claus. Jesus Christ. How okay. is that real? This is fucked up. This game is skewed. It doesn't make sense.
Todd.
What?
What? Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm sitting here.
A Babysitter's Guide to Monsters.
A Babysitter's Guide to Monsters? That's the name of the show?
A secret society of babysitters help protect children from monsters.
What? That's it?
A secret society of babysitters help protect children from monsters. That's all that was written.
There's multiple movies on Netflix called The Babysitter, but they're not. There's like a new one.
You're thinking, Todd, babysitter porn.
No, it's not a porno. It's a horror movie thing, franchise. And the new one just came out. So this is wonky. I don't know. I mean, it's believable. It's entirely believable. But
up is down, left is right.
And the last time I said that you were lying and then you weren't. And Skelton's been right every time about you not lying, so...
I've been right twice.
I'm going to say this is a bullshit show. It's bullshit. It's not real.
It's real.
Fuck you. Fuck this show. And fuck this game. This game is bullshit. This game is crap.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm not sorry. You're being a baby. Okay.
Why am I being a baby? Because you've manipulated this game to fuck with my head. It's not.
We're not even a quarter through the game, Todd.
Skelton.
It's just okay. I'm saying what's true out of the gate, so people understand when it ends the way it is that I won the game, but Skelton, I lost the game.
Yeah.
Your movie is called Strong Island.
Strong Island.
It's the summer of 1985, and Long Island's hip-hop culture is flourishing. Led by Public Housing Teens' Public Enemy, De La Soul, Eric B. and Rakim, they seek fame, love, and the perfect breakbeat. Breakbeat.
That's real.
No, I made that up.
Damn, holy shit.
You got me on that one.
That
was a good log line. That sounds real.
There's a hard tell here, too, because Falk read both my fake one and my real one exactly the same. Like he didn't understand what he was reading. He's very hard. He's very hard to tell. Like people who are listening.
That's the opposite of a tell, Todd.
Well, they can't see. Well, you don't have a tell, is what I was
saying. Yeah. Black Stallions, a comedy film about rival brother jockeys, starring Kevin Hart.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to guess it's fake because I feel that's responsible.
Oh, this one's real.
Oh, Jesus God. Christ. now I'm upset. That's upsetting.
Okay.
I'm genuinely upset. And it's not your fault, Steve. I'm upset that that's real. But also, I'm upset that you made that my question somehow.
Okay. Okay, are you ready, Skeleton?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, Flash Boys.
Flash Boys?
A financial thriller about a group of Wall Street traders who band together to reform the market and fight the long secret phenomenon known as high frequency trading.
High frequency trading. Flash Boys. I'm going to say fake.
No, that's a real movie in development at Netflix.
Are you kidding me? That's real. Wow. Okay. Go.
Yeah.
This is a hard game. This is hard as it gets. It's either real or out of Falk's brain. It's impossible. Okay. This game is impossible.
Todd.
Yeah.
My wife and I bought a ranch.
Wait, is this the game?
What?
This is the game, right? Or are you telling me you and your wife bought a ranch? I don't know. It's impossible to tell you.
It's about a couple named Harry and Sasha who buy a ranch. Soon they discover there's a malevolent spirit in the valley which comes to their house at the start of each planting season.
Oh. I mean, I'm going to say that's real. It's got to be real.
That's real.
Ah, nice. Thank God. Finally. That one. Finally.
Okay, Skeleton, ready?
Yeah.
All right. Pasta and dosas. When an impoverished cook on an Indian cargo freighter sneaks ashore in the city of his dreams, Florence, Italy, he struggles to make it in a new culture and in the ultra traditional culinary world of Italy. The one star attached is Dev Patel.
That's not true. That's not real.
It's not true.
Holy shit, you wrote that all thing yourself.
Yeah, you...
Holy shit.
You know, and you know what did it? You know what made me go, wait, that can't be... He said Dev Patel is attached. That's... That was too much.
You fucking went too far, Falk. You never do that in your comedy, and you just went one step too far. This is why I'm saying the game is fucking bullshit. It's rigged. Okay. You're giving Skeleton hints.
Todd, ready?
Just tell me what the answer is.
The title is Romeo and Juliet Hip Hop Musical.
Okay.
A young waitress from the streets of Brooklyn and an aspiring musician from a wealthy family fall in love and must confront their life choices. The one talent is Queen Latifah.
That sounds real.
That's real.
Oh my God.
Nice.
Oh my God. Got that.
Okay. Skeleton.
Yeah.
The Center. The story of World War I vet Matthew Rudledge, the creator of the Tootsie Pop, and the rumor that bedeviled his beloved creation.
Creator of the Tootsie Pop. Damn. This is a hard one. This is difficult. Because, like, the Tootsie Pop. Is this real or is this not real?
How many licks does it take to get to the center?
To figure out whether this is real or not.
And then you'll know whether or not this is real.
I'm going to say this is fake.
Oh, that's fake, yeah.
Whew. God damn. It was a good...
That was a good one. That had me...
That was good.
I was like, God damn it, this could totally be real.
This is okay. What's hard about this
ready?
Game. Yes.
Todd. 6 year. Or 6 year. A man watches the love of his life marry another man. 6 years have passed when Jake comes across the other man's obituary. He resolves to attend the funeral, but the mourning widow is not Natalie, throwing all of his past memories with the woman into question.
Wait, is this called 6 year or sixth year?
Six.
Six.
Yeah. Six. Oh, did I say who's attached?
Oh, no.
Hugh Jackman.
6 year.
6 year.
I'm going to say this is real.
That's real.
Nice.
If it was sixth real year, I would have said it's funny.
Yeah, that would have been totally
funny.
That
would have been bullshit.
Okay. It's just a fantasy. It's just a fantasy. A lonely divorcee's childhood dreams of rock stardom magically come alive again when he gets hit on the head by a falling stage light at a Billy Joel concert, featuring the movie of Billy Joel. And this is also Hugh Jackman. Is also the actor attached.
Also Hugh Jackman? Oh, see, now that's got me, that's make throwing me for a loop, because we just had a Hugh Jackman that was real. So is this another Hugh Jackman that's real, or it's a Hugh Jackman that's not real? Now, you first, I would assume it's going to be a Hugh Jackman that's not real, but then that's, you know, what Fault probably thinks I would think. So maybe it's real. Like, this is, it's...
It's inconceivable!
I'm going to say this is real.
No.
Damn it.
this game is fucked.
That tricked me because I know Hugh Jackman likes to sing.
Yeah, no. I thought it was real too.
He does like to sing.
Singer.
Okay. Okay. So yeah. Okay. So this is. Oh shit.
Where are we at? Is there? How?
You're 4-3.
And where? How many more do we have left?
Let's see. Who went first? Skelton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Todd has 3. Skelton has 2.
And Skelton's 4 in the lead.
Yes. Okay.
See, it's still anybody's game. Don't
Todd.
Baby.
I don't know.
Todd.
I mean, this is how he sets it up, so it seems like I might win for a second, but then he throws in some bullshit. Listen to what his question is, then you'll know the truth.
Okay. This is called Mother Courage.
Oh, God.
The story of Virginia Apgar, the creator of the Apgar scale to determine the health of a newborn child immediately after birth in order to combat infant mortality. And the one actor attaches Reese Witherspoon.
God damn it. I don't... You're good at these, Falk. You're some bitch. I'm going to say that's a faker. You faked this. It's a fake.
That's a fakey.
Ooh,
oh,
nice.
My God.
That's a
I don't
nice
know
fake.
How I knew that.
That's a nice
I thought
fake.
For
that
sure
sounds...
it was true. I doubted myself. That's how I got the right answer.
All right. Skelton.
Yeah.
The Cactus Movie.
The Cactus Movie.
An unexpected pregnancy at 45 causes a reserved woman to rethink the structured life she's created for herself and leaves her on an unconventional journey towards love, family, and learning and learning to embrace the unexpected. And this is also starring Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, man. Oh, man. See, now I don't know what to think. Okay. That's fake.
No, that's real.
Damn it!
I thought it might be. I thought it might be.
That's like dumber than Falk's fake one. Reese Witherspoon.
I know. That's what's... That, I'm starting to understand what the way he's writing his fake one.
Okay, Todd.
Yeah. Or maybe I'm not. I said too much.
All right. Todd, ready?
Yeah.
Untitled dog movie.
Oh, God.
When a young boy's older brother dies in the Vietnam War, his dog starts talking to him. And there's one actor attached, but it says voice, Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's it? That's all? That's
it just
whole,
says voice, parentheses, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Right, but the whole pitch is... Tell me the pitch again?
When a young boy... I don't know if this is animated or not, but it says when a young boy's older brother dies in the Vietnam War, his dog starts talking to him. Voice, Jake Gyllenhaal.
I really don't know. Fuck. Is this something that could come out of Falk's brain or something that's too crazy not to be true? I'm going to go with it's true. It's real.
No.
Shit. You're really...
Todd, I totally would have guessed that was real, too.
Dude, it's like, you're too good at this, folk. This All is right, a good game. If I lose this, I'm saying this right now. It's a good game. I apologize for being a dick.
Guys,
earlier.
It's 4-4.
All right, whatever. But I apologize for being a dick. I accept my loss early if it happens.
But there's two more. Okay. Skeleton.
Yeah.
The helicopter movie.
The helicopter movie.
A gang of brazen robbers use a stolen helicopter to land on the roof of the Mint, where they steal more than $5 million. The actor attached is Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay, so the last Jake Gyllenhaal was fake. This Jake Gyllenhaal involves a helicopter and a heist, so that feels tantalizingly real. That sounds Netflixy. But then again, it's Jake Gyllenhaal, who doesn't really do those kinds of movies anymore. It's a flippery do I don't know what situation here, guys. I'm gonna say that's real.
That's real.
Whew. Oh shit. So he's won, if I get this right, then it's a tie.
Yeah.
Do you have a tiebreaker?
No.
All right.
Okay.
So you can lie.
I will be thrilled to share victory with you in this insanely difficult game.
Okay.
It's very hard.
It's diabolical.
It's incredibly difficult.
Are you ready?
Yeah, go.
The Division.
Oh, Jesus. Say the title again.
The Division.
Okay.
Set in a dystopian New York City in the aftermath of a smallpox pandemic, The Division, that's in quotes, is tasked with helping to rebuild Manhattan. And the one actor attached is Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, Jesus.
This is the worst and hardest 50-50 game we've ever played. I'm going to say this one is absolutely true.
Tie game, guys. You're right.
Oh, my
nice.
God.
Division's oh my a video God. Game. I knew that one.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh. I would have gotten that one in a second because that's a video game.
Oh, because it's a video game. Nice yeah. job.
And I guess I'm wrong. I guess Jake Gyllenhaal is shifting career gears and going full-on action.
But I got it, even though yeah, I don't know done. The video games. Wow, I yeah. don't know how I did that.
All right, tie game. Well done, you guys.
All right. So what does that mean? Like, what happens?
Nothing. I just, you guys both won.
Well, but do you have to give it? I mean, we both won together, so we kind of beat your game. So you've got to make a show? You have to make a show for us? Make a show?
I have to make it. You guys are going to you're gonna star in Untitled Dog Movie.
Yeah, it's coming soon to Quibi.
or you guys are going to be in It's Just a Fantasy, the Billy Joel jukebox musical starring Hugh Jackman.
Awesome. We get to do Billy Joel's
fucking
songs with
a,
Hugh Jackman.
Man. That's great. I love Hugh Jackman and Billy Joel. What was
all right, that's the sad kids mean the bottom five list, guys.
Sad kid.
These are the five worst. These are the five worst movies I've seen during this part of the pandemic. Aforementioned Danish disaster movie, The Wave. It's actually not terrible, but it's maybe the fifth worst. It's watchable. Marky Mark's Patriot Day.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
wait,
that's
what?
Rough. That's rough. I like The Wave fine, but yeah, you're right on that.
Project Power.
Oh, yeah. Blech.
I didn't watch.
I tried to watch a movie that everyone, you know, has on their lists every year, of like all-time movies or notable movies. It's a French New Wave musical called The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. Blech. Blech.
I have never heard of that.
Every word is sung, so even like, Maman, may I have a coffee? and it's the whole thing.
That sounds tedious.
It is. It. And then I would say maybe the worst movie, just because I have a thing with this director that I can't quite. Everyone worships him, and I can't quite see it. James Gray's The Lost City of Z.
I haven't seen that, but yeah.
Is that the one with Charlie?
Hunnam? Charlie Hunnam. Yeah, Hunnam. It's just I don't understand why.
Yeah, that's a dull film.
And this is a moment of positivity. Here's two good movies I saw, kind of obscure, but I enjoyed them. Very different movies. One is a British soldier stuck behind enemy lines during the Troubles in Northern Ireland, called 71. Action movie, quite good. And Hearts Out Loud, which is a little indie movie about a Brooklyn record store that's going out of business. And it's a delightful little movie. I saw it on Canopy, but...
Canopy is what? Where is Canopy? What's Canopy?
Canopy is a streaming service that you can get if you belong to the library. If you have a library card.
Oh, so it's like a free library app. And the other movie you said, is that...
71's, I believe, on Amazon Prime. 71's really cool, and Hearts Out Loud stars Nick Offerman. And it's a lovely little movie.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I will look at those.
All right, everybody. We are the Film Pigs. We come to you every month. We come to you to talk about movies because we love them. And
yes, that is right. True. We love movies.
We love movies. Also, I won this month's episodes game. I mean,
it was a tie.
It was a tie.
So I won.
You were one of two winners. Yes.
Yes. But I am a winner, and I won.
Todd, you won. I'd like to thank Adam Blau. My name is Stephen Falk on behalf of Todd Robert Anderson.
Thank you very much, everybody.
And Mr. Steve Skelton.
One of two winners of the game.
I won. Is the point? The point I was trying to make is not that there were two winners. It's that
we're the Film Pigs.
Todd Anderson won.
We are available to attend your backyard socially distant free beer fest. We are available to do your remote Zoom podcast if your name is Doug Benson. We're generally just available.
Yeah.
Bye, guys. We're tech avail.
Wear your masks. Mouth and nose, people. Mouth and nose.